verse 13 to 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. Also, we're going to briefly go into Psalm 116. So if you want to cue that up. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Okay, so I've been going through 2 Corinthians and reading through it as part of just my study devotional, and as one of the reasons I was drawn to this passage for a number of reasons, but primarily actually this time is because Paul quotes Psalm 116 here. I believe, therefore I spoke. And he goes, we also believe, therefore we also speak. And so this passage I've heard and seen used in context of evangelism. We believe, therefore we need to share the gospel, the faith that we have. And that's great and all, but this is not what Paul is intending to say with this passage. And if Paul isn't intending to say, isn't intending to teach evangelism with this passage, then I don't think we should either. And I think what actually, because Paul, like, this is a very short passage that he pulls out, that he quotes. And we're like, okay, what is he supposed to mean? So to actually understand what Paul means, we have to understand what the original psalmist is saying. I mean, if you look at Paul and the context that he's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's not talking about evangelism. I mean, in the overall scheme of things, yes. But the issue that he's specifically addressing isn't evangelism. He's actually writing a lot about his afflictions in his journey and how in those times the power of God comes through. You can read it in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So he's really talking about the power of God and the life of Jesus is demonstrated through the weaknesses and the suffering that he has gone through. And that's the context that he's talking in. Not necessarily, you guys should go out and share the gospel because you believe, therefore you should speak. And to really understand Paul's mindset, I mean, I think he's doing good Bible study. He has done good Bible study. Just for the sake of the Corinthians, when he's writing, he's just pulling out a verse, but he understands the context of the verse that he is using. So for us to really understand Paul's mindset, let's go to Psalm 116, and I will read the entirety of it. It's not that long. Okay. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For he has rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. O may it be in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So the first, I mean, the upon reading Psalm 116, it's actually fairly, the surface, I guess, understanding seems fairly simple. We go through difficulties and tough situations. The psalmist says, you know, the cords of death encompass me and the terrors of Sheol have come upon me. And so he calls upon the Lord, be gracious, or you are gracious, Lord, come and save me, save my life. And when we do that, when we rely on his mercy, his grace, compassion, that is a way of deliverance. When we do that, God comes and delivers me, or delivers us. You have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Paul is actually quoting verse 10. I believe when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I believe, therefore I spoke. I believe when I said. So he's like, well, the translation isn't entirely direct. Well, Paul is primarily reading from the Greek, or part of it, he's reading the Greek Old Testament, as well as some Jewish texts. But he's actually quoting verse 10. And if you put your focus on verse 9 and verse 11, it actually gives us insight into why Paul is quoting verse 10 in 2 Corinthians. Because verse 10 by itself, actually verse 10, verse 11 by itself, doesn't really make a lot of sense, or it doesn't really point us in the right direction, or it doesn't tell us anything. I believe when I said, I am greatly afflicted, I said in my alarm, all men are liars. So specifically in verse 10, I believe when I said, I am greatly afflicted, like it seems out of context that Paul is, it seems like Paul is quoting that verse out of context. But when you look at verse 9 and verse 11, it makes a lot more sense, because verse 9 serves as like the undergirding or the foundation of why he says verse 10 and verse 11. Because verse 9, it says, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So it's this declaration of faith by the psalmist, the belief that he has, because he's gone through all these difficulties and he's seen God rescue him and deliver him. And so this belief that God is going to be with him through all circumstances is undergirded by his experience in the past. And he knows, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of living. God is going to be faithful. He will not forsake me. And so with that understanding, that's why he says verse 10. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. When he says, I mean, you can say it in this way. I am greatly afflicted, but I still believe that I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I still believe verse 9 holds true, even though I am greatly afflicted, even though all men are liars, even though I'm going through all these difficult circumstances, I hold on to verse 9 because I have experienced it before. I have seen death come around me, and yet God has delivered me. So with that, you actually understand you understand Paul's mindset. You understand how Paul is understanding and interpreting this passage. I believe, therefore I spoke. I know that God is going to be with me despite all the sufferings and persecutions and shipwrecked and being chased after. I know that God is going to be with me in all these things. And so I will continue to believe, and I will say it. So when I say, man, things are tough, or when I see that things are tough, I still believe what God is going to do. Paul's understanding is that my faith in God allows me to experience his power. There's a deep-seated belief and confidence that even if he died, that God would not forsake him. I mean, that's why you see Paul talking about the power of God in verse 7. And also the life of Jesus in verse 10. Even if these things happen to me, the life of Jesus will come through. I think what's more astounding about Psalm 116 is actually later on, from verse 12 to verse 19, how it seems, at least when I read it, I get the sense that the psalmist is talking more about the future. And you see this as the psalmist saying, what shall I offer? What shall I offer? I shall do this. I shall do that for the Lord. And it's I feel like he's talking about it in anticipation of God's deliverance, of God's faithfulness to him. Verse 18, or verse 14, verse 18, you have two exact same verses. I shall pay my vows to the Lord, or may it be in the presence of all his people. That phrase, pay my vows, is more of a euphemism for praising God, especially in the presence of others. I shall pay my vows. Oh, may it be in the presence of people. I'm going to praise the Lord. May there be people around me when I do it. And if you actually look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, that's kind of what Paul is saying. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. So as he is being persecuted, or as Paul is being persecuted, he's drawing on Psalm 116. It's like, I'm going to hold on to my faith, and I'm going to praise God in anticipation of his deliverance. Oh, may there be people around me, not so that they can see me, but that they can see God come through, so that they would be able to see the Lord, they would be able to experience him, and that they would be able to praise him, adding to his glory. I mean, that's what the psalmist is talking about. Oh, may there be people around me as I go through these difficult circumstances and praise him so that they would see. Paul's intent in this passage, what he's trying to say, is that in the midst of his suffering, that his worship would encourage praise and glory to abound to God, not necessarily share the gospel. So three things I think that we can learn from, I guess, from going into this passage, or these two passages. First, I think it highlights the importance of knowing how to quote scripture. Paul is being faithful to the meaning of the text. And so if Paul is being faithful to the meaning of the text, so too should we be faithful to the meaning of the text. We need to know our scripture and not isolate passages because it fits our narrative or it fits the point that we're trying to make. Because Paul quotes a really small phrase, right? And we take that small phrase to make it mean something and doesn't. We're not being faithful to scripture. We have to actually look at the original context. We have to look at what Paul is, like the context that Paul is speaking in, as well as Psalm 116, the original context of the verse, and how Paul interpreted that. Because how Paul interprets that passage should actually tell us how we should interpret it, not that, oh, Paul is wrong. You know, we should look to him because I think Paul was more qualified than us, or is more qualified than us, considering that God allowed him to write scripture. The second thing, I think this passage highlights is the importance of outward explicit worship that we attribute to God in spite of our circumstance. This part is difficult, very difficult at times, but I think it's very important because when we are able to do that, it takes the attention off of us and towards God. And really, it's not about us, it's more about God and his glory. This is a countercultural message for us because we are very self and inward focused. But that is something this passage highlights, that Paul is not focused on his difficult circumstances, but on allowing God to come through, praising him so that people would see him, or would see God. And this is what the psalmist is saying as well. I shall pay my vows to the Lord, oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. Despite all the difficulties I'm going through, I am going to praise him. And number three, I think this highlights the necessity of the cross, the need for the cross. Because the second thing that I pointed out, you know, we need to worship despite our circumstance, can be a very, at times, a burdensome thing. And I mentioned that. We go through difficult circumstances. We're like, oh, I heard the sermon where I should praise God despite what I'm feeling, what I'm going through. And it can wear on us. And it can turn our faith from faith into doing. Like, I have to do this because this is what I'm supposed to do. I heard the sermon. And like, again, that can weigh on us. And so without the cross, if we don't see this passage, or we don't see this, I guess, directive in light of the cross, it becomes works. It doesn't become faith. But when we are able to actually look at praising God in the midst of our pain through the eyes of the cross, it makes things easier. I mean, let me explain it this way. Let's look at Jesus on the cross, right? To do that, we would have to, you know, go through all the gospel narratives of Jesus on the cross. But I'll break it down. I'll put it this way. You see Jesus on the cross. You see everyone around him, especially in the Gospel of Mark. Everyone around him is insulting him, shaming him, throwing scorn at him. There's the two robbers on the cross that are crucified with him. You have the religious leaders. You have the crowd. You have the Roman soldiers. Everyone around him was basically shaming him, saying that you're a fraud. I mean, it was almost as if they're saying, you're a failure. You're supposed to be the Messiah. You said that you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. How are you possibly the Messiah? You're a failure. You're weak. And Jesus basically says, I know. I am weak. I'm going to let you think that I'm a failure. I'm going to let you shame me. I'm going to take all this and not say anything and not defend myself. I'm going to allow my weakness to be shown to everybody. And what happens through that is that the power of God gets demonstrated through his resurrection. And in spite of his position, remember what he does on the cross? He sings Psalm 22, which is this incredible song of praise towards God. I will praise you in the midst of all my people. Despite what is all that is happening, I will still praise you because I know you are God and that you will accomplish what you have started. In the midst of his pain, he's able to do that, knowing that it isn't if he is going to die, but it's just a matter of when. So when we are able to see that, see Jesus on the cross, it actually makes worshiping him in our dire circumstances a lot easier because we have someone that has already done it for us. Like, this is the, I guess, the mystical exchange where Holy Spirit works in heart. When we are able to do that, and just muster up that strength just to even like sing a little bit or pray a little bit, I think God honors that heart or that little bit of faith, right? You don't have to have this superhero faith. If there's that faith in you, God honors that. And I think through that, he begins to transform us or continues that process of transformation. This is verse 16 in 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. When we're able to see things from the perspective of the cross and how Jesus goes through things and how Jesus takes our pain and our suffering, I don't think that means that it definitely does not mean he completely takes away all the pain. When we encounter difficult circumstances, when we encounter times where we get shamed and embarrassed or whatever it is, exposed as a failure, we do go through pain. I mean, it makes it clear, the verse 16 makes it clear here that our outer man is decaying. We will still experience some sort of discomfort or suffering, but it's nothing compared to what Jesus went through. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. On the cross, Jesus gave glory to the Father, and the power of God was demonstrated through his resurrection. And so that same experience of power is given to us as we hold on to faith when going through difficulty and not avoiding the difficult times, not avoiding being seen as a failure, not covering up and posturing, like, no, I have an excuse for that. I'm better than that. And just being like Jesus on the cross. Yeah, you're right. I have no power. I have no ability to control how people see me. When we allow everyone to see, when we allow ourselves to be bared, you know, basically naked, that's when the power of God comes through. That's when our inner man really experiences the life of Christ and the Holy Spirit, or transformation of the Holy Spirit. So as we worship today, you know, I encourage you to just spend time thinking about the cross and Jesus' death, going back to the gospel, and just look at all the different ways the gospel permeates our life and how it can change and transform us.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now I marvel at your saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. I'm full of praise once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
Lord, may our prayer this morning be that in those times of difficulty, that we would allow ourselves to be in a place where we could experience your power, that we could look to the cross, we could look at how you died for us, how you went through all of that for us, and so that we could die to ourselves too, that we could see, Lord, your power manifested through the resurrection of Jesus, knowing that that too, that same power could work through us. Father, may you bring greater awareness for us of our weaknesses, Lord, of times when we put off difficult circumstances. Father, may we embrace them, not as a way of living in them, God, but as a way of allowing you to work through us, even for us to experience you at work. I pray, Lord, that you may give us that awareness. We thank you, Lord. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community that have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Let's pray for those who are sick. Let's pray for their healing, but let's also pray for their spiritual lives, that God would touch them, open their eyes, and then see Jesus, and that they would receive him into their lives. to pray for those who have non-cancer related infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand on them and that they will be healed quickly. And that, yeah, as they go through this time of praying, that they would not lose hope and continue to persevere. Pray for those who are looking for jobs. Pray for open doors and opportunities for our brothers. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for today's prayer for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SP Philippines. Let's pray for all three of these congregations that that God would work mightily through them and in them. Let's pray for education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, and SP Youth. Let's pray for all the leaders and teachers. More importantly, let's pray for all the students, all the kids that are in these ministries, that God would protect them and guide them as they grow up, and that they would come to know who He is in their lives. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries, IP, the well, and the river. Let's pray for God to move powerfully through these ministries as people pray and bring healing to our members seeking out healing. Pray for SP Lights and Homey Outreach. Let's pray for these ministries to be the body to the red light district and the marginalized in Hong Kong society. Pray for all the pregnancies at church. Let's pray for all the moms that they would have uncomplicated pregnancies and that the birth process would go well and that they would have a just smooth transition into motherhood. Let's lift up our house churches meeting tonight, Cullen and West, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood. Let's pray for a good time of fellowship. Let's pray that they would seek God out in their worship and just really invite Holy Spirit into their houses this evening. Pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the city that we live in. Let's ask God to bless the city, to continue to protect us. Thank you for his mercy and grace over us over the past year and a half. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would help our faith grow. Help us cling on to faith, Lord, in difficult circumstances. That we believe, that we would hold on to this truth, that we will walk before you in the land of the living. That you will not forsake us. That you are faithful, Lord. God, I pray that you would plant that truth deep into our hearts, God. And let that bear fruit. And in times of difficulty, we would cling on to that for dear life, that we would walk before you in the land of the living. That your presence will be with us. Help us hold on to that truth, God. So that in our weaknesses, in our sufferings, the power of God, the life of Jesus, may manifest itself through us, Lord. Not only for us to see, but for others to see as well. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.